Well, thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for staying in this class. Even though you knew who he was teaching, you still stayed. So appreciate you doing that. Want to ask you to do something. Want you to be honest with me. Just kind of look at the screen, right? Want you to be honest. Be honest with yourself, all right? It's kind of, I'm using that term honest intentionally and rather ironically. Want you to be honest with yourself. Do you struggle with telling the truth? Do you struggle with being honest? In a group this size, I'm guessing somebody has to have some sort of struggle. Or let's just make it impersonal. We know somebody that struggles with it. Maybe we are related to them. Maybe we are a parent of somebody that does that, that struggles with telling the truth. And so tonight, that's sort of what we're talking about. We're talking about the power of the tongue in these four lessons during the month of April. And so I wanted to talk about that. Last week, we started off on a positive note. Tonight, we're going to have kind of a mixed class on that. But last week, we talked about that kind of our theme verse for this study, Proverbs 18, verse 21, that life and death are where? In the power of the tongue. That's pretty powerful. Power of the tongue, there's life and death. Last week we talked about there being life in the power of the tongue. There's a lot of good that God expects me to do with my tongue, but at the same time, there's death. And next week we're going to talk more about that probably than we are tonight. But when you talk about lying, that's kind of a sensitive subject because nobody's going to raise their hand and say, and I'm not asking anybody to, but nobody's going to raise their hand, yep, I've got a problem with lying. Because if you raised your hand and said that, I'm not even sure if I'd believe you. You know, I was like, are you sure? I mean, it's not something that we're going to readily admit. And you may be sitting here tonight and you think, wow, I don't need this class at all. Well, I think we need everything we can study in the Bible, whether it's something we know or don't know, whether it's something we think we need or something that we don't need. If there's something that the Bible talks, does the Bible have anything to say about lying? Does it have anything to say about speaking the truth? Probably a lot more than we realize if you start working your way through what the Bible has to say. And so that's what I want to do tonight is just talk about this subject, that truth is in the power of the tongue. And what does that mean for us? So what I want to do is I want to divide this class, first half, hopefully half, we'll see. First part of it anyway, we're going to talk about lying. Second part of it, we're going to get to the more positive side of just talking about telling the truth. But let's talk about the reality of lying. Define for me that term. What does it mean to lie? To what? Deceive. All right. That's a good word to use. What does it mean to deceive? Don't say to lie. All right. Don't bring that back to me. What does it mean to deceive? To mislead. Okay.
Intentional.
It's intentional, right? That's a good word to use because could you mislead somebody unintentionally and that's not a lie? Have you ever done that? Well, yeah. You didn't have the right information or you said, you know, I'll see you there on Monday at 7 o'clock. And in your head, you're thinking Tuesday, but your mouth said Monday and now you're all mixed up. You know, was that intentional? No, it was just a mistake. So all of those are good words. Here's, you know, Webster's always, you know, a good friend to have when you're trying to figure out what a word means. To lie means obviously to utter a falsehood with the intention. All right. So it's not just a slip of the mind, and we all do that. You know, we don't realize we're saying something wrong, even preachers do that in sermons. You know, you just say something, and you don't even realize what you're saying until later. Wait a minute, why was I saying that? That doesn't even make sense. But it's with intention to deceive. You're trying to mislead somebody. Now, I want you to look at the second part of this too. We're going to talk about this more in a little bit. To create a false or misleading impression. The first part of this says, I am uttering something. That means I open my mouth and I say something. Second part of this doesn't necessarily mean that I've opened my mouth, right? Could I create a misleading impression without saying anything? Ah. So there can be lying and deceit even without me saying anything. All right, so just let that sit there for a little bit. We'll come back and kind of resurrect that thought in just a minute. But let me give you some statistics on lying. I mean, if you're going to talk about lying, I mean, let's throw some statistics out. But I don't trust these statistics. I mean, I'm going to give you statistics, but I mean, can you really trust? Can you trust statistics anywhere, right? I mean, who's coming up with this stuff? But can you trust statistics on lying? I mean, if somebody called you and said, "Hey, I'm doing a survey on lying. Can I ask you some questions?" Are you going to tell the truth? I mean, if they're doing a survey on lying, maybe you should lie. You know, just to give them an example of what lying. I mean, I don't know. Or what about the people who are reporting the survey? They've gathered all of this data. Are the people reporting the survey? So here's the deal. How often do people lie? What do you think? How often, in a day's time, how often do people lie? I'm using people. I didn't say you. That means you can answer. All right? I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about people in general. How often do people lie?
50% at least.
All right. So 20 times a day. Cheryl Lamb? Every 3 minutes. She said students. All right. So she's talking about students. So students at school lie every 3 minutes. Is this a scientific study that you've done across many years of experience? Okay. Okay. So we have a teacher seconding. Eva? Okay. We're going to talk about that in a little bit here. So, there's all sorts of studies out there about how often people lie. I read a study several years ago that was about where Julie is that said that people lie 25 times a day. Like, wow, that's a lot. And then I've seen studies that say 10 times a day. And then stuff I found this week says the average person lies 1 or 2 times a day. So, I mean, we went from 25 several years ago to 1 or 2. So, I mean, we're getting better apparently. How much of this is real? 60% of people lie at least once in a 10-minute conversation. So next time you get on a phone call, just time it. You know, 10, okay. So in a 10, they say that's 60% of people apparently. 40% of people lie on their resumes. Does that bother you? Nearly half of people that are looking for a job are lying? This will not surprise you. 90%, that's a big number, 90% of online dating profiles contain lies. See, that doesn't surprise you at all, right? Even the profile picture is probably a lie. All right, this one comes a little close to Cheryland. 80% of college students cheat on tests. Does that bother you? 80%? How about this one? 30% of patients lie to their doctors. Well, what are you doing? Okay, I'll stay off. Never mind. So, and then this one. 70% of all liars claim to be willing to do it again. You can make up statistics that can prove a point. But the whole point of that is what? People are lying. And probably lying a whole lot more than we would like. So let's come to this question: why? And I noticed I used the word we, but I was like / people. So general people, not you, just people. Why do people lie?
They don't want to look bad. They want to look good.
Okay, so they want to look good. So to save self-image, there. Why do people lie?
Don't want to hurt your feelings.
Don't want to hurt somebody's feelings.
Avoid conflict.
Stay out of trouble.
To gain something.
Okay? Why do people lie? Say it again. Okay. So y'all are nailing every single one of these, all right? So in a general sense, do people lie in order to avoid negative consequences? Well, yeah. Why does the two-year-old lie? Why does the three-year-old lie? Did you do that? No. Why do they lie? I mean, do kids lie?
Sure.
Why?
They don't want to get in trouble.
They don't want to get in trouble. But they grow out of that, right? I mean, they turn 5, turn 6, turn 10, somewhere along the line, they grow out of that, right?
Most of the time.
Not necessarily. I mean, according to Cheryl Ann, not in her school, to avoid negative consequences, to avoid punishment, to avoid embarrassment. I don't want to be embarrassed. So I'll just let something kind of slide in here. And to Stephen's point, to attain some positive results, you know, to gain something, to get something that maybe I wouldn't normally get, to protect my self-image, to maybe create the dating profiles. What am I trying to do? Create a favorable impression. So, hey, I'll just make up some stuff here that makes me look good. Not really me. So positive. And then to Cheryl Ann's point, sometimes it just becomes so normal about what somebody does. It's like, well, that's just what I do. You think of any other, anything else come to mind as we're running through some of those? Any other reasons come to mind as to why people lie?
Make money.
To make money.
To get elected.
That's almost what we expect from them, isn't it? Is hardly trusting any of those politicians. So, a lot of reasons that people lie. What do people? When do people lie? What are they lying about? What kind of things? Just did it, right?
No.
Do people lie on the... No, not the lying, the taxes part, not the lying part. Do people lie on their taxes?
Yes.
Why?
They don't want to pay them.
Money. They don't want to pay money. We're going to get money out of this. What do people lie about?
Expenses.
Okay.
When a cop stops you, you lie.
When the police officer pulls you over, do you tell the truth? When do people lie? What are they lying about?
When they didn't do their homework.
When they didn't do their homework. The dog ate it. I mean, did that ever happen anywhere? We come up with these genius things that to a young mind, boy, this sounds legit. No. Cheryl Ann, what do you got? Say it again. A child brought in their chewed up homework because they knew that nobody would believe them. Okay. Well, at least they brought it in. But is that just limited to school? What about in the workplace? When somebody hasn't done a project, hasn't finished some task they were given. Anybody ever lie to cover themselves? When do people lie? What are they lying about?
At a wedding.
Oh, wow. Oh. Okay. At a wedding. Ay, ay, ay. What else? What's that? Okay. Anybody ever lie? You know, somebody would call on the phone, tell them I'm not here.
Yeah.
Well, I think you are.
Telemarketers
lie. So salespeople, we're gonna throw all sorts of people under the bus tonight. Say again.
How are you today?
That's a fun question to get sometimes. Talk about people in general here. Anybody ever call in sick? Anybody ever call in sick to work?
No.
but not sick? And I know people are going to argue that. Well, I had leave time. Okay. Sick of work. Yeah. So we find that what this means. Anybody ever lie about why they're late? Why they're running late? Why they didn't show up on time? I mean, you could come up with all sorts of things. Where's the one place that you're not supposed to lie? The church. Good answer. Good answer. I wasn't even thinking that one. Good answer. You lay your hand on something, raise your other hand. Isn't that interesting? That when you go there, now why do they have you do that? What do they know about people?
They lie.
Especially as we talked about, if you're trying to protect yourself, that you might in a courtroom, or protect somebody else. In a courtroom, isn't that interesting? We go into a trial and lay our hands there, raise a hand, and yet, what do some people still have a problem doing, even after that?
Telling the truth.
So, in what ways? And this is sort of similar, but in what ways people lie? And what I mean by that is, some people lie. Did I put this list up here? Yeah. So some people lie with their voice, all right? So they're using their mouth to lie, whether it's on the phone, whether it's face-to-face, you know. And then there are some people that, you know, might even use even their own handwriting. But what's the really easy place for people to lie today? I mean, when technology has been advancing, boy, it's a lot easier now, right? I don't have to use my voice. I don't even have to write something out. I can just type it. And maybe it doesn't feel as real if I'm just send it off. You know, I didn't say it. Maybe it doesn't feel as real when I do that. But come back to this definition: to create a false or misleading impression. Could the omission of information, the intentional, remember the definition? Could the intentional omission of information be misleading?
Yeah.
What about allowing somebody to draw conclusions in their mind and be right there but not say anything? Is that deceit? Is that lying? We talk about Joseph's brothers in Genesis 37. Remember Joseph's brothers getting his coat, that precious coat of many colors, and making it look like he was attacked and killed. Bringing it to Dad. Here you go, Dad. What does Dad conclude? Exactly what the brothers wanted him to conclude. What did they know? Very much alive. Well, last time we saw him anyway, he was very much alive. But letting Dad for 13 years believe that his son was dead. What's that? That's lying. That's deceit. Yeah. I mean, and they were all in on it together. What about white lies? Half-truths? What about they're just little things, right? They're just little things. Are termites little things?
Yeah.
Termites, I mean, last time I saw them, they were pretty little. Are they a big deal?
Yeah.
Can they do anything? They're just little.
Damage.
What about just a half-truth? What does that even mean, a half-truth? It's a half-lie. Why don't we say it that way? Well, because we like the cup half empty or half full instead of half empty, apparently. So, does the Bible have anything to say about just the reality of lying? I want you to think about with me for a minute how much the Bible and I began to think about this week, I sort of began to be overwhelmed by how much the Bible has to say about lying. And I'm not going to put it up here because it's just. But I don't know if you all have ever seen. There was an author several years ago. Herbert Lockyer was his name. He wrote a series probably of 20-something books, and it was called the ALL series, the All series. And it was Bible subjects. You may have seen the book called All the Men of the Bible by Herbert Lockyer. He wrote All the Men of the Bible, All the Women of the Bible. He wrote in All the Children of the Bible. He wrote one called All the Animals of the Bible. He wrote one on all the promises of the Bible, all the miracles of the Bible. He just did the All series. I wonder if, and I haven't seen one, Lockyer didn't do one. What would happen if somebody wrote all the lies of the Bible? Can you think of any? Can you think of any lies? People who lied in the Bible?
Satan.
Jacob. When did Jacob lie? When Jacob lied to his father. Think about how much manipulation that Jacob and his mom had to do to lie. Who else lied? Ananias and Sapphira. David. Who else lied?
Abraham.
The man of faith. What did he lie about? Oh, she's my sister.
Peter lied.
I do not know him. I do not know him. I do not know him. That's a lie. He did know him. Who else lied?
Abraham.
Who else? By the way, how many times did Abraham tell that lie that she was his sister?
At least twice.
Did it twice. Cain. Guess what his son ended up doing? Same thing.
Cain
did. Say, yeah, right. It was a half truth. Right. So, I mean, and that was the point. That was the point is, oh, no, she is sort of my sister, so it's okay for me to say this. Who else lied? Peter. Who else? Adam and Eve. Who else can you think of? Ananias and Sapphira.
Pharisees.
I want you, maybe as you go home tonight, go through this week, I want you to just think through the Bible and how many different people there were who, and you're going to be overwhelmed as you go through your Bible and think about it, because you'll be like, whoa, there's more than I thought. You think about Elisha's servant Gehazi. When Naaman offered Elisha a gift for healing him, and Elisha said, nope, don't want anything, what did Gehazi do? Hey, my master changed his mind. No, he didn't. But you want the, what's he doing? He's lying. Here comes Saul after battling the Amalekites. And what did he say? I have kept the word of the Lord. No, you haven't. You're a liar. You didn't kill everybody. And just work through your mind. 1 Kings 13. You got the older prophet. You're supposed to trust the older men. Telling the younger prophet, an angel appeared to me and the angel told me it's okay for you to go home and eat with me. No, he didn't. In fact, the Bible puts in parentheses, 1 Kings 13, verse 16, 17, 18, in that range. He puts in parentheses. He was lying. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit just saying, here's what he said, parentheses, he was lying. So when you think about the Bible and just the reality of lying, you're going to be overwhelmed with how many people lied. Now, I've ignored the ones who have said this because I wanted to come back to it. Where did lying start?
In the Garden of Eden.
Who was it? Adam who did it?
No.
Eve who did it?
No.
Satan who did it? Satan did it.
Yeah.
Now, what horrible thing did he say? So God says in Genesis 2, the day you eat of it, you shall surely
die.
Eve even repeats that. Bless her heart, she's talking to a snake. She repeats that in Genesis chapter 3. And can you imagine? And she repeats that. No. We can eat of any tree, but we can't eat of this tree. Shouldn't even touch it, lest we die. And Satan says in Genesis 3 and verse 4, you shall not surely die. Oh, then that makes it okay. What makes it okay? You're lying. So turn your Bibles to John chapter 4, or John chapter 8, real quick. You know this verse, but here's Jesus fast forwarding 4,000 or so years later. And here's Jesus in John chapter 8 and verse 44. I wish we could look at this whole context because he's engaged with these Jews who think there's something. He says to them in John 8 and verse 42, if Pharisees, somebody mentioned Pharisees a little bit ago, if God were your father, what does that word if mean? He's not. Yep, he's not. Look down at verse 47. He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Okay, so what are they of? Verse 44. Here's the key. You are of your father, the devil. The desires of your father, that's what you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the what? Truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he's right at home. When he speaks from his own resources, because he is a liar and he is the father of it. So when we're talking about just the reality of lying, the origin. I meant to put that up there, and we'll just put all of that up there because we're needing to move on here. Where did lying come from? Lying came from the devil. He's the liar. He's a liar. He's the father of it. And so we're going to talk about that more in a minute. But if I lie, who am I associated with? There's no other option. There's no other option there. All right, so that's just talking about the reality, okay? Reality of lying. Let's talk real quick, and we're going to move on to talking about the truth. Let's talk real quick just about the results of lying. What kind of results come about from lying? Nothing good, right? Any results to me personally when I lie? Now, some people are going to say, no, I lie, you know, to protect myself. I lie so that nothing bad's going to happen to me. Is there anything, are there any negative results towards me? Becomes easier? Loss of trust. Anything that for me that affects me.
It can cause you to lose your job. Lose your wife or lose,
Okay. Cause me to lose my job, my wife, relationships. Okay, so there's the eternal aspect of it. Do you know, and I didn't realize some of this, and I mean, I kind of figured it, but I didn't realize it until I started looking at some of this week. Just go home and Google effects of lying. And you're going to have a lot of search results from psychology. Not talking about everything you all just mentioned, but talking about personal effects where it causes depression. It causes stress in people's. You don't think that. No. I'm doing this to put a little border, a boundary around me to make things easier. And actually, it doesn't. So just from a personal aspect of it, just Google effects of lying, and you'll be surprised by how many psychology pages are going to pop up. Now, you got to keep up with them all, Stephen. You know, Romans chapter 6 talks about lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, and that's what it is. It's lies leading to more lies, and that's where the stress aspect comes. You know, it's like, all right, I when I lie, I have to remember. All right, I have to remember, and this was going to be later on in the lesson, but we'll deal with it. So I need to, if I lie, I have to remember the truth. Have to remember the truth. But then I have to remember the precise lie that I told. I have to remember who I told that precise lie to. I have to remember when, before, after, when I told that precise person that precise lie about that particular event. And if I get mixed up, guess what I have to do? Then I have to tell another lie to cover the fact that I got mixed up because I couldn't remember this other. Will that lead to stress? Say again. I might get caught. And so I'm going to run as many circles around this as I can to not get caught. Can that be stressful? Now, somebody says, yeah, it's stressful if you tell the truth and get yourself in trouble. Okay, yeah, that's stressful, but then you deal with it. And you're not dealing with the sin aspect. Now, what about our relationships? And you kind of mentioned this. Okay, there's a ripple effect. Does it destroy trust in relationships that sometimes hard or maybe impossible to rebuild? Can my lying hurt somebody else? What kind of impact can my lying have on somebody else? Okay. Could my lie, have you ever known somebody that one person lied about them and that person lost their job? Lost their job because somebody else told a lie about, you ever known of somebody that went to prison because somebody told a lie about them? Here's somebody that just, they just say, for whatever reason, we talked about some, they say a lie, and somebody could lose a job, could go to prison, have their entire life impacted by somebody else telling a untruth. So as much as, you know, there's that, people want to defend it, so it impacts me, impacts my relationships, it can impact somebody else. Can it impact the church? Yeah, it can impact the church. And this is Allison's point. Is there just kind of an unknown ripple effect for lying that maybe you don't actually know the full extent of where it goes and for how long it goes? I mean, speaking of that whole progression of having to remember your lies, what happens when years pass and you're still trying to remember all of those alternate scenarios that you made up and when and where and how? You forget all of that. And then there's just that ripple effect. All right, so result of lying, what does the Bible say?
You're not going to heaven.
You're not going to heaven.
It can cause you to lose your soul.
Go to Revelation 21 and 22, and I want to look at some stuff there. 1 John chapter 1, I'll meet you there in Revelation. I just want to mention some of these to you before we get to that one. 1 John chapter 1 talks about you can deceive yourself. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. If you say you have no sin, what is that? That's a lie. We all have sin. So if you when you say you have no sin, you're lying, and the Bible says you're deceiving yourself. Is it possible that you could tell a lie and you actually believe it's the truth? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about somebody getting to the point where they believe the lie. Maybe you've known somebody like that, that they lived an alternate reality, an alternate in reality to the truth for so long, they believed that this was true. They had gone through that for so long. What do we see in John chapter 8? Result of lying, I take on the nature of my father. I take on the nature of the devil. And then the result of lying is I am engaging in something that God hates. Is hate a strong word? Man. Yeah. Yeah. Six things the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination. Now, he's going to use that word abomination in Proverbs chapter 12, the second passage up here. He's going to use that word abomination. Psalm 5 and verse 6 says he abhors it. To me, abhor is stronger than hate. Chapter 12, verse 22 is going to use the word abomination. Chapter 6, verse 16 is going to use the word abomination. But when you look at those seven things in Proverbs chapter 6, here's seven things that are abomination to God. Two of them are lying. God, you're going to give me a top seven list, and two of them are going to be lying. What does God think about dishonesty? Hates it. So, you know, but if I were telling you to go to Revelation, the last two chapters, and we're going to talk about lying, what verse would you go to?
21:8.
Revelation, 21:8, 21:8. Y'all know that song? I found some kids that didn't know that song. You know, I was kind of, wait, you don't know the Revelation 21:8 song? We sang that all the time in VBS when I was growing up. No, we didn't have VBS when I was growing up. But we knew the Revelation 21:8 song. What does it say in Revelation 21:8, the end of it? All liars have their part. Which liars? The really bad ones?
All of them.
The habitual liars, not the half lies, the full blown full lie people. No, God doesn't differentiate, does He? All liars have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. That's not the only verse. Go to verse 27. Chapter 21, verse 27. There shall by no means enter it anything. Talking about heaven. I love the way he words that. It's just so definitive. There shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then go to chapter 22, verse 15. But outside, not inside heaven, outside, are dogs and sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I don't remember when it was that I first saw that three times at the end of the Bible, all liars, whoever tells a lie, whoever loves and practices a lie, three times God says at the end of the Bible, these people don't go to heaven. Okay. To me, that grabs my attention. All right, so real quick, we got 6 minutes. Let's turn that around here. Let's look at the other side of the coin. What about telling the truth? And come back. All right, so responsibility that we have to tell the truth. First of all, God commands us to do it, right? I mean, hello. He commands me not to lie, and He commands me to tell the truth. Look in Ephesians 4. We'll just look at one of these verses that's up there for sake of time. But look over in Ephesians chapter 4. Put this in context. Look back in Ephesians 4, verse 17. We're just going to kind of walk through this real quick. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Don't keep doing what everybody else is doing in the futility of their mind. They've got their hearts hardened against God, their past feeling, verse 19. Verse 20, you haven't learned Christ that way. That's not the way that Christians behave. Verse 22, what are you supposed to do? Put off that old man. It grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. What's holiness? What's holiness? If I'm holy, what does that mean? I'm set apart. I'm different. And God says, put on the new man that is in true righteousness and holiness. And so then he gets to verse 25. What's the first word you have in verse 25? It might be the second word, depending on your translation. Based upon the fact that you're supposed to take off the old man and put on the new man. Based upon the fact you need to stop living like the rest of the world, because that's not the way you learn Christ. Therefore, here's something you need to do. You need to put away lying. You've got to get rid of it. And then the second part of the command in verse 25, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. You may not have recognized before in verse 25 that some of your Bibles is going to have that in quotation marks. Some of your Bibles may have that in all capital letters where it says, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. That's not just a New Testament verse. He's giving that to us from the Old Testament. So he's pulling from the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, and he says, here's Zechariah saying in Zechariah 8 and verse 16, speak truth with your neighbor. Oh, that's a part of the Old Testament. Yep. And it's a part of the New Testament. Command of God is to speak the truth. To buy the truth, don't sell it. Proverbs 23. All right, so then, I know this is quick, but I wanted to get to this last slide. We got 4 minutes here. How can I resolve to tell the truth? I need to see the power that is there in telling the truth. And we've kind of mentioned this. You only need to remember one reality. You don't have to remember all of those alternate realities that you created and who you said it to and went, no, no, no. When you tell the truth, you only need to remember one reality. Some of us have a hard enough time remembering one, right? I mean, I can't hardly remember one reality. Why do I need to try to remember more than one? You won't need to tell another lie to cover it up. If you don't lie in the first place, You don't need another lie to cover up what you've been. It builds trust in our relationships. Telling the truth is what people need to hear. And it was said a little while ago, telling the truth can save somebody's soul. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 25 says, a true witness delivers souls. Telling somebody the truth, it can save their soul. Seeing the results, let me throw some of these up here. When I tell the truth, instead of sharing the nature of the devil like a liar does, I share the nature of God, who's the God of truth. I share the nature of Jesus, who's the way, the truth, and the life. I share the nature of the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. I share in the nature of the Bible, which is the Word of truth. You get the idea? I mean, is that what I want to partake in? To enjoy that kind of closeness and familiarity with the God of heaven? All right, so real quick, what does somebody need to do in order to stop lying? If you're going to be practical with someone and they say, how do I stop lying?
Keep my mouth shut.
Keep your mouth shut. That's a good place to start.
Your eyes, your mouth.
Dirk? Okay. Stop lying to yourself. What do you tell somebody? They want to stop lying. What are you going to tell them? Say again. Pray. Let me give you these real quick. Number one, conduct a funeral. Go to a funeral. Don't just go there. You're conducting it. You're preaching the funeral. We just saw it. You're supposed to bury the old man. I know he keeps trying to resurrect. That might mean you have another funeral next week for him. But bury the old man. Get rid of him. Pray fervently. And I wish we had time to look these verses up. Boy, those verses are, they're just, those are prayers. Praying to God, remove falsehood far from me. Number two, lean mightily on God. Remember how often Paul prayed? I prayed three times the Lord would remove. How many times have you prayed? Number four, fix your mind. And this goes to your point. Fix your mind on speaking the truth where? In your heart. This is before you ever open your mouth. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 is that verse that says, meditate on these things. You know what the first thing on the list is? Whatever things are true. First thing on the list, whatever things are true, meditate on that. Saturate your heart with God's word. Find your verse. That's what Jesus did. Saturate your heart. Look for the way of escape. Is God going to give you a way of escape? Number seven, refuse to tell even a small lie. Luke 16, verse 10. Luke 16, 10 says, one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. You can tell a little lie? Okay. You tell a little one, you'll tell a big one too. Here's what was said just a minute ago. Slow down, pause, pray, and think before you speak. Maybe you don't need to speak. Number nine, confess your shortcomings to somebody else. Ask them to pray for you. Last one, number 10, maybe you need to ask for help. This is kind of in a somewhat progression. I'm not saying that everybody needs to ask somebody else for help. But if somebody is struggling, can you be addicted to lying? Can it become such a habit that it's just ingrained in you? Yeah. Can you come to a point where you need to ask somebody to maybe be some kind of a helper for you that is going to help you through this process? Sin is not something to play with. And maybe we lied to ourselves, and that was mentioned. Maybe we lied, I can get over this. I can handle this. I'll be all right. If I continue to struggle with the same sin over and over and over and over and over and over and over, whatever the sin is, over and over, do I need to do something different than what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Something I'm doing is not working. And maybe something that I need to do, whatever that sin is, maybe something that I need to do is to follow what God says. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another. And ask somebody to pray with me. Ask somebody to help me. Bunch of stuff in here tonight. I knew this was way too much stuff. I just kept finding good stuff I wanted to put in here. So death and life. Power of the tongue. We'll talk more next week. Thank you all very much for being here.